The last time in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, the title of my message was, Is Life Worth Living? And then as we go on, actually, these two chapters are somewhat similar. Because in chapter 2, Solomon was disgusted with life. I'm glad Mike spelled the word sun. I failed to spell that. Sun is U-N. Living under the sun is U-N. Because I can't distinguish, I can't really pronounce between the difference between S-U-N and S-U-N. I just pronounce it the same, but you have to spell it sometimes. Living under the sun is U-N. But in year 1812, we look at Napoleon Bonaparte. His army was defeated by Russia for two reasons. Because of the superior army of Moscow, and secondly, because of the Russian winter. They cannot afford to fight so much with that terrible winter below zero. And so Napoleon Bonaparte was disgusted because of failure. And then, later part in his life, he cried because there was no more empire to conquer. He was disgusted because of success. We see this in the life of Solomon. In spite of his wealth, wisdom, and his accomplishment, his works, he was also disgusted. Success, I don't see so much of a failure in his life, but so much of a success, and yet he was disgusted. Life is disgusting. In this chapter 2, we see Solomon's search for satisfaction and meaning to his life. He debated within himself. He recorded three experiments in this chapter. Three experiments. He said he tested life. That's verse 1 to 11. And then, secondly, he hated life. I hate life. Verse 12 to 23. And then the last verses, finally, he accepted life. He tested his life. He hated life. And then finally, he accepted life. He accepted life. First, he tested life. Verse 1 to 11. Excuse me, I failed to put this on. Am I on? Okay, good. Okay, in verse 1, Solomon said, I thought in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure. He tested his life with pleasure. And then he said, I'll test your pleasure to find out what is good. But that also proved to be vanity or meaningless. He had his own heart. He would like to see what the response of his heart will be. So two things, to pleasure. And then first the pleasure, he said in verse 1, I had all the pleasure that I desired. In verse 10, we see that we read in verse 10, I had all the pleasure that I desired. I would tell them that. I had them all. And then in verse 2 he said, laughter. I had laughter. Laughter, I said, is foolish. And what does pleasure accomplish? I had pleasure, I had laughter. And then verse 3, wine. The king had the best wine in earth at that time and whatever. As a king, he enjoyed good food. He enjoyed the best wine that anyone can afford. And in fact, he has best entertainers. He had choirs, men and women singing for him to please him or to comfort him as entertainment. But after the party, he was dissatisfied and still felt emptiness. There's emptiness. Have we experienced that sometimes? And after all these pleasures, And then that song will be sung, "The Party is Over." The party is over. All you have to do is wash the dishes, clean the tables, everything. Oh, not pleasurable. Not good. Yeah, all the pleasure. All vanity. It's like soap, a bubble that vanishes away, chasing after the sun. He wrote in Proverbs 14, the same author, Solomon, wrote in Proverbs 14, verse 13, "Even in laughter, the heart may ache, and joy may end in grief." Joy may end in grief. For our present day application, people today will pay a lot of money just to have pleasure. But life built solely on pleasure alone will end up in disappointment. Why? Because pleasure seeking becomes selfish endeavor. And people who live in pleasure often wants to get anything they want. And this affects others. It affects our relationship with other people. They want to get what they want. I must have a text here. Sorry. But the result is a broken relationship. If life is built on pleasure alone, enjoyment will decrease unless the intensity of pleasure increases. See? We look for pleasure, but when we reach the tip or the top of pleasure, we want more. But because there's pleasure, the intensity of pleasure doesn't increase. That's why people sometimes fall right down below. They cannot reach something because their life is built only on pleasure. And Solomon have tried this. He experienced his life. He said, "Pleasure is temporary because there's no satisfaction. Only true pleasures brings delight." In Psalm 37:4, "Delight thyself also," it's David said, "delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." I changed that word just for my own consumption, desires. "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the pleasures of your heart." Verse 5, "Commit thy way unto him, and he shall bring it to pass." In these two verses, it starts with the Lord. Delight thyself in the Lord, and you'll have that desires or the pleasures. Verse 5, "Commit thy way unto God, unto the Lord, and he shall bring it to pass." But if we remove the first, we just have pleasures, delight in everything, we'll end up in disappointment, vanity, meaningless. So I like that. Those are my life verses, by the way. When I graduated from Bible school, I chose that those verses as my life verse. "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desire of thine heart. Commit thy way unto him, and he shall bring it to pass." He tested his own heart with enjoyment or with pleasure. And then secondly, he tested his own heart with accomplishment or with his work. Solomon had verse 6, verse 4, he said, "I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself and planted vineyards." He built houses for himself, parks, gardens, water system. He had silver and gold. He had flocks. He bought slaves, both men and women. And he said he had slaves born right in his house. And he said, "I have everything more than all other kingdoms or empires had, other kings." His conclusion, only vanity and vexation of spirit. Just like a bubble, when it bursts, vanishes away. There's nothing. You catch nothing. He tested life. And then secondly, he hated life. Verse 12 to 23. Verse 12 says, I turned myself to behold or to look. Verse 12, I turned myself to behold. I turned my thoughts to consider wisdom. King James said, I turned myself to behold. And then I turned my thoughts to consider wisdom. He looked at himself in the light of his wisdom, his wealth, and his works, his accomplishments. His conclusion, what good is it? You can't bring them with you. He looked at wisdom, wealth, and the reality of death. And when he said, you can't bring them with you, he's talking about death. I have wisdom, I have wealth, but there's the reality of death. I'll die. I can't bring them with me. Along with life and death, he considered two things. He considered his wisdom. Verse 12. Since both the wise and the fool will die, what is the value of wisdom? I'm wise, he's fool, we both die. What's the value? The same. They all go to the graves. The only difference is the wise man sees death is sure and lives wisely. But the fool walks in darkness and is caught unprepared for coming eventuality of death, the reality of death. And so in verse 16, he says, both the wise and the fool die, and both of them are forgotten. Forgotten. You might have a little memory someday, but he said, both this wise and the fool, when they die, they're forgotten. So he said, I hated life. I hated life. Yet, I'm afraid to die. That's the irony. I hated life, yet I'm afraid to die. Therefore, I'm disgusted with life. I hated life, but I'll die. I'm disgusted with life. But for Christians, we love life. Life is a gift from God. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, and the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Life in Christ is a gift from God. He considered his wisdom. And then secondly, Solomon considered his wealth. Wealth. Verse 18. He said, my wealth is the fruit of my labor. But I hated wealth because I worked for it. And he gave three reasons why. Because he said, I cannot keep my wealth. Verse 18 says there, I will pass it on to my beneficiary that did not work for it. Verse 19, who knows whether he will be a wise or a fool, my beneficiary. I work hard for my wealth. It will be passed on to somebody. I don't know. A beneficiary who didn't work for it. I didn't even know whether he will be wise or fool. But somebody said, the best thing for us to do with our wealth is send it ahead. Send it ahead. Invest your wealth with eternity's values in view. When you give an offering to the Lord, it's not a ceremony. It's not a form, but that's one way of investing for the ministry, for the work of the Lord. That's what it means. Send it ahead. I'll shut this off. So send your money ahead. Invest in something with eternity's values in view. First, you cannot keep it. And then secondly, second reason he said, because his wealth, I cannot protect my wealth. You cannot protect it. Verse 19 and 20. Your beneficiary will just waste it. He said, my beneficiary, whether he's fool or wise, I don't know. But he said, he will just waste it. I do have control over my wealth after I die. It reminds me of a man. I read a book one time. It's many years ago, but still it's fresh in my mind, about a man who is a rich man on his deathbed, dying, but still in his right mind. His children, relatives, gather around him with a lawyer reading for his will. Before he dies, he wants his will read. And then the lawyer read, all those relatives around the bed listening. It says, I, having a sound mind, spend it all. Having a sound mind, I spend it all. He enjoyed it. Rather than passing on to someone, he's not sure how they'll handle his wealth. Whether he is a wise man or fool. I haven't control. I don't have control. And then, not only that he can keep it, not only that he can protect his wealth, but thirdly he said, you can't enjoy it as you should. Verse 21 to 23. You cannot enjoy it as you should because I worry about my wealth and I live a miserable life. I just think of people who are wealthy, but I cannot live because they're afraid somebody might mismanage their wealth. So they worry. Solomon said, I worry about my wealth, and yet I live a miserable life. I work hard for it, and then leave it to someone who will just waste it. Waste it? He said, is it fair? That's not fair. I spent sleepless nights to get wealthy, to become wealthy. And my ears, my beneficiary, never experienced this. I've never experienced the problem. Verse 21, that's in verse 21. Solomon was, in here, was very pessimistic about life. But that was only for a while. Only for a while. Because in this third stage of his experiment, he said, I accepted life. I accepted life. Verse 24 to 26. Solomon was saying, thank God for what you do have and enjoy it. Take note, two things. Solomon said, thank God for what you have. But that's not enough. Enjoy what you have. Enjoy the blessing. Sometimes we receive the blessing and that's it. But we don't enjoy it. So Solomon said, thank God for what you have. What you have now. Other people, after they have something, they crave for more because my neighbor has this, I want to have it too. More than my neighbor. Solomon said, thank God for what you have, whatever they are, whatever it may be small things, and enjoy it, enjoy it. That's from the Lord saying, not only the blessings of life, but also the enjoyment of the blessings. I think God will be honored if we, sometimes that's what wrong with people is. They become so obsessed with possessing things, realizing that what they have are blessings from the Lord. We have them. Enjoy these little things in life. Enjoy the blessings. Verse 24 says, he finds satisfaction in his work. Solomon said, in my job, in the work that I did, he has great works, by the way. And he said, I find satisfaction in my work. Compared with Psalm 127, I like that Psalm 127, verse 1, except the Lord build his house, or except a man guards his house. And then in verse 2, he said, in vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat. In King James said, in vain you rise early and stay up late, eating the bread of sorrow. Some people, have you not thought of, some people, they eat just to be full, to satisfy their hunger, but they don't really enjoy the food that they're taking. They eat the bread of sorrow, toiling for food to eat. Rise up early, sleep at late at night. He considered it evil. Solomon considered it evil to have God and the blessings of life, but you don't enjoy it. That's evil, he said. In chapter 6 of Ecclesiastes 1 and 2, we read, I have seen another evil under the sun. S-U-N, by the way. Under the sun. God gives a man wealth, possessions, and honor, so that he lacks nothing in his desires. But God doesn't enable him to enjoy them. And a stranger enjoys them instead. This is meaningless and a grievous evil. The evil of all evils. God gives you something, but he doesn't enjoy it. Instead, strangers enjoy it for you. This is meaningless, a grievous evil. Unbelievers may have the riches of this world. They may be happy. You can say they may be happier than us. But they don't have the real joy that we have. You know, the difference between happiness and joy, happiness is dependent upon the happenings. If the happening is sad, it fluctuates, it goes up and down. You're happy, you're sad. But for Christians, even if we have not so good happening, perhaps it affects, we have some sickness or some problems, we're not happy, but still we have that joy, the joy in the Lord, the joy that we have. Joy is something for believers, is something that we cannot explain. We cannot explain it. It can only be experienced because it's deep settled. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is in my heart. Believe unbelievers, they may be happy today, sad tomorrow. For Christians, whatever happening is, we have that deep settled peace. I've got peace like a river. I've got joy like a fountain. I got the love of Jesus in my heart everywhere. I love that song. I got peace like a river. Riches, Solomon experienced that, but he said meaningless because unbelievers do not have the joy because they don't have God in their life. God is out of their lives. I heard a song in one of the DVDs that I have. I love that song. God in the mountain is the God in the valley. Some phrases I wrote here. The God in the mountain is still the God in the valley. The God in the daytime is the God in the night time. The God in the good time is still the God in the bad time. When things go wrong, he'll make it right. He'll make it right. This completes the first section of Ecclesiastes, the first two chapters of the first section of Ecclesiastes. The problem was declared in these two chapters. The problem, all problems. That's why I said, don't conduct a Bible study with unbelievers with these two chapters without giving them the last chapters of Ecclesiastes, because there we have the hope. We have the difference. Solomon just played toy about his life. He said, because it will be more depressing if we just teach them about what life is. It's disgusting, disgusted life. What am I living for? He gave four arguments that seem to prove that life is really not worth living. In two chapters. Chapter 1 said, life is monotonous. Monotony of life. Chapter 1, verse 4 to 11. And then we have the vanity of wisdom. We took that also in chapter 1. In chapter 2, we have the futility of wealth. And then finally, the certainty of death. These arguments appear to be true if we look at life under the sun, S-U-N. But if you bring God into the picture, everything changes. In the next 8 chapters of Ecclesiastes, Solomon will consider each of these 4 arguments that I just mentioned, and he refutes them. Wonderful study, Ecclesiastes. He refutes them, he counters them. So he was debating within himself. At the end, he will say, enjoy life and be thankful to God. He takes a balanced view of life and death, and helps us to look both from God's perspective of what life is. From God's eternal perspective. If we don't understand everything in life, and for sure we won't understand everything, still God demands to be worshipped. Thank God for whatever comes. Thank God for, in spite of the problems in chapters 1 and 2, God's still on the throne. He demands to be worshipped. Life is not meaningless. We live a life of victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, in closing, I would like to read this verse in Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. God is still God with throne, in the throne. Whatever happens to us, he looks upon us. I was blessed with our Sunday school this morning. Don't replace God with other kings, with other gods. He's the one that saved us. We are his children. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory. We don't live a life of vanity. Lord, we thank thee for the life of Solomon, that he shared it with us. Thank thee for, actually it's not only Solomon's life, but how you have dealt with him. The same God that dealt with the prophets and all the test. Believers of old in the Bible is the same God that deals with us in loving kindness, who forgives. Sometimes we fail, we commit sin, but then if we come to him, he said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We pray for thy blessing, O God, for your children, believers who met here from Sunday to Sunday. We honor thee and love thee because you have saved us. We honor thee, thou Lamb of God, thou art worthy to be worshipped alone. In Jesus' name, amen.